I have 14 seconds. Thank you very much.
Commonwealth versus Davis, Eugene Murphy, Senior Assistant Attorney General, Appellate Counsel, Charles T. Hoskey, Jr., Appellate Counsel.
You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Gene Murphy for the Commonwealth. This is, of course, a Commonwealth appeal on the decision of the Court of Appeals en banc reversing a conviction for murder and attempted murder under the doctrine of collateral estoppel. Basically, there was a preliminary hearing at which a murder and some other felonies were presented together with a misdemeanor of reckless handling of a firearm. The Commonwealth's evidence on the felonies was insufficient, just the identity. The court found that the murder had been established sufficiently, but that the Commonwealth had failed to establish identity. Then on the misdemeanor, the court simply said, Commonwealth has not met its burden. And the question is, does that decision on the misdemeanor entail a finding that, a factual finding, that Mr. Davis was not the shooter in the murder? And importantly, there are a number of limitations on collateral estoppel. I think importantly because it's such a complete, such a drastic remedy, basically. This man has been convicted of murder and attempted murder, and he will not be able to be retried, of course. It says that you don't apply it where the judgment could have been grounded on an issue different from that the defendant seeks to foreclose. That if there's any other reason why the court might have acquitted on the reckless handling of a firearm, then collateral estoppel does not apply. And it says that the factual issue must have been essential to the judgment rendered in the prior proceeding. And the majority in the Court of Appeals are recognized. It's recognized these limitations. And as this court said in Jones, when you have a general verdict, it is generally impossible to determine what exactly was decided. And that burden rests upon the defendant. Now, we don't indicate, as the Court of Appeals suggests that we do, that you not look at the facts surrounding the verdict.
Is a general verdict something where there's no explanation as to why the verdict was rendered?
Absolutely.
Because we have an explanation in this case.
Well, we have an explanation as to why the felony was found not to have been proven.
Well, what we have, I'm talking about Judge Zepkin at the district court.
Yes, Your Honor.
And he says, I find that you have not met the burden to prove that he is the one who discharged, well, I'm paraphrasing, that he's the one that discharged the firearm. Now, he made that finding,
Your Honor, with respect to the felony. His finding there was that they had not established the probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
On the issue of probable cause, which starts at page 155.
Right, there's a misdemeanor connected with a related issue.
Initial.
And he says, and as a result, I find you not guilty of that charge. Well, why isn't that collectively a determination that he was not the person who fired the weapon?
Your Honor, because he never made that connection. He says, with respect to the felony, you have not proved that he was the shooter. On the misdemeanor charge as to whether or not you've proven the case beyond a reasonable doubt, I would find that you have not.
And what was the misdemeanor?
Reckless handling of
a firearm.
No question about that, Your Honor. The question.
No connection?
The point is that this is a general verdict. When you're looking to determine what might have been decided, you look only to valid final judgments for the constrictions that are imposed by collateral estoppel. Here we do not have a final valid judgment talking about the identity of the shooter. We have a finding involving on the probable cause for the felonies, which, of course, does not preclude the Commonwealth from subsequently seeking indictments, as they did. So it doesn't, you know, limit the proof. The question is, what did he decide in the misdemeanor? And I think that we can say that there is available a second reason. That is that there was no reckless firing, handling of a firearm proven or even argued at the preliminary hearing. The evidence set forth was that demonstrated an intentional shooting at the vehicle. Tim Johnson said that somebody was holding a gun, pointing it out in front of him, 15 to 20 feet away from the car. The police found numerous holes in the vehicle in the back and the rear. The driver, when she left entered the vehicle, said that the windows had been shot out. And for that reason, the district court said the Commonwealth had established that this murder had occurred. But at the hearing itself, the only thing the Commonwealth's attorney told the court in argument was, certainly we have linked the defendant by a preponderance of the evidence to this murder. That's the only thing he said. Never mentioned at any point within the hearing that there was attached to this a reckless handling of a firearm, that he wanted the court to find that it was reckless conduct involved. And
the judge asked, hey, wait a minute, we've got this misdemeanor charge too, what are we doing with that? And was told, we're trying it now.
Right, no question about it, it was tried together. But in the trial on the case, Combs' attorney never addressed that issue again. Never said, in addition to the intentional conduct, we also have reckless conduct by the defendant. And that issue was not considered because it wasn't really what the Commonwealth attorney wanted to present. He wanted to prove a murder. He proved the murder. He couldn't prove the identity. But he had no interest whatsoever in proving the recklessness and didn't try to.
But an element of the statute of recklessness is that it endangers the life, limb, or property. So how could the judge have found beyond a reasonable doubt? I mean, you're saying that he could have handled it intentionally rather than recklessly.
Right.
And that was the basis of the acquittal.
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, I think there's no question that the testimony that was presented proved nothing but an intentional shooting at the vehicle, an intentional killing of the victim. And there is, as we pointed out on brief, reckless conduct is not intentional conduct. You do not intentionally kill somebody through reckless conduct.
But isn't that completely inconsistent with him finding no probable cause that Davis was the shooter?
Well, I mean, I don't think that's inconsistent. I think what you have are two issues in each of these proceedings. You have, first of all, was a murder committed? The judge said, yes, it was. Then the judge says, have you established identity? You have not. Then you move on to the second offense, the reckless handling. Excuse me, the judge can say immediately, there is no evidence in the record of recklessness, so I'm going to acquit you of that charge. So I think that's the difference here, that in fact there's another reason why the judge may have thrown out the reckless handling of the firearm, because there was no evidence even attempted on that claim. It was apparently just tacked on by police officers. I think the record indicates that charge was not reviewed by the Commonwealth attorney before it was presented, and that he had no interest in that offense and did not offer any evidence.
Well, now, the failure to certify the felony has absolutely no collateral estoppel effect whatsoever. And you're absolutely
right
about that. But the problem is, in the Ash case that the U.S. Supreme Court decided, says that you may, even in a general verdict, you may look at the record of the prior proceeding, whatever it was, on the misdemeanor we're talking about now, taking into account the pleadings, evidence, charge, and other relevant matter. So as Justice Rauch has pointed out, why can't the court look at the other relevant matter, which would have been the felony certification proceeding? There's the judge's comment, you haven't proved that he was a shooter. Now, that's the reason why it's a not guilty on the misdemeanor. Why isn't that a direct connection?
You can certainly look to that, but the question is, what does it prove? If there were no other available reason for the acquittal, then certainly that would control. That if there were no question other than identity, that certainly would control. If there might be
a matter, it's not a matter of no other reason when you have a stated reason.
Yes, Your Honor, but it has to be that finding has to be essential. That factual finding has to be essential.
It's pretty essential that the guy's the shooter in order to convict him, isn't it?
No, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that it's not essential to that judgment that you make that finding. There's another way that the court could have resolved this issue. That is, they could have said, there's nothing in the record whatsoever about reckless conduct, so I'm going to acquit there. Well, that's
but he didn't. That's
well, we don't know why he didn't.
But upon an ordinarily general verdict, you just say guilty, not guilty. There's no explanation.
Sure.
So there could have been another reason. We don't know what it was. Here we do know what it is. And we know that because he was trying the certification, and he said, you haven't proved that he's the shooter. There's insufficient evidence that he is the shooter. And on the misdemeanor, as a result, I'm going to find him not guilty.
Well, he doesn't say as a result. And that's if he had said that, certainly that would be the end of it. But he said, on the other charge, you have not met your burden of proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
Well, if he acquitted simply because Davis fired the firearm but did it intentionally and not recklessly, he would have found probable cause on the felonies. Right? Because the reason he didn't find probable cause... The Commonwealth didn't have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt at this point. Probable cause is a pretty low standard. But there was no probable cause he was the shooter. That's completely inconsistent with the judge saying, well, he was the shooter on the reckless handling of the firearm charge, but it wasn't reckless, it was intentional.
No, I'm not saying that he did find that he was the shooter. All I'm saying is that he makes a decision in a general verdict. If there was more than one reason why he may have entered that, we cannot apply collateral estoppel, unless we have a factual finding from a valid final judgment. And of course, the probable cause finding is not that. What we have is a situation where we can offer to the court a reason why the judge might have decided this, so that the finding that he was not the shooter was not an essential part of his judgment of acquittal. That he could have based that determination on another fact. If that is true, then under the cases that we've cited on brief, there is not a basis to apply collateral estoppel. And I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
You know, Mr. Murphy, this is why prosecutors don't cross those things or bring them by direct indictment to the grand jury when they bring up the other matter.
Many prosecutors.
And it's been that way, forever. You just don't handle things like this.
Every prosecutor I've talked to about this case has said, what happened? Why did this happen?
Okay. 2 minutes, 13 seconds.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Charles C. Cosby, Jr., and it was my privilege to have represented Mr. Davis at trial and likewise before this honorable court. And what we had, I was looking at Ash versus Swenson, and they were talking about a case where there was an unexpected turn of events. That's exactly what the prosecutor had. He thought he had his case lined up, prosecuted years ago, and all of a sudden he's caught by surprise and he doesn't have what he thinks that he had to present. And unfortunately he made the wrong decision in hindsight by not now prosecuting that case, and as Your Honor noted, that's standard operating procedure in the Commonwealth where the prosecutor does now process that, so that the Commonwealth is not in the position that they find themselves in this particular case. And I think the wording of the court in the lower court as to its mindset as to what its reasoning was in not finding probable cause is inextricably linked to what it did in the misdemeanor. Certainly if it couldn't find probable cause, it couldn't find proof beyond a reasonable doubt on the reckless handling of the firearm.
Well, I don't think that's the problem. You can not find probable cause without any collateral damage whatsoever. The prosecutor just goes upstairs and presents more evidence, maybe even less evidence, right, to a grand jury, and gets an indictment. The problem is the comment that you haven't proved that he's the shooter, and then you move to the misdemeanor, and I'm going to find him not guilty on the misdemeanor. There's the problem for the Commonwealth.
Right. I agree with the court. I think what I was trying to say, Your Honor, was that basically if he couldn't show probable cause as to criminal agency, he certainly couldn't show it as to proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And what Judge Petty said as far as the reckless issue that the Commonwealth has been talking about is that, and I think this is important, that the court was not looking in the general district court at the way the gun was used, but who used it. And in the Ash case, the United States Supreme Court pointed out the following. I think what the Commonwealth is trying to say is that you should have a hyper-technical view of this. The Ash court said, the federal decisions have made clear that the rule of collateral estoppel in criminal cases is not to be applied with a hyper-technical and archaic approach of a 19th century pleading book, but with realism and rationality. They also said any test more technically restrictive would, of course, simply amount to a rejection of the rule of collateral estoppel. So we not only have the comments of the judge in the general district court, but if you look at the entire thrust of the case in the general district court, it was to prove that a murder occurred and that Ronald Davis was the culprit. And there was no other issues really before the court. The arguments, the comments, the entire preliminary hearing involved that. And so when you look at the total picture and you look at the comments of the general district court judge, it's clear that the only reason that the defendant was found not guilty of the reckless handling was because he was decided not to have fired the gun, and therefore that as far as criminal agency, it was decided he was not a criminal agent. Therefore, that issue was decided, and it could not be relitigated in the trial on the murder and the other charge of attempted capital murder. Thank you.
So, your counsel, you're imputing the judge's findings on this decision to acquit Davis of the misdemeanor charge, right? I mean, the dissent in the Court of Appeals says the general district court judge made no findings or statements pertaining to that decision. And it sounds like you are saying, well, I can impute what the decision is in the case.
Well, I think you can when you look at the entire picture. If you were to follow what the dissenting opinion said, they basically, the essence of it is that the judge has to say, as to the misdemeanor, I find him not guilty because I find him not to be the criminal agent. But I think when you look at the total, as the Chief Justice indicated, the collective approach in looking at what was said, and not only looking at what was said, but looking at the context of the entire preliminary hearing, you can see there was no issue of recklessness. It was questioned as who committed this murder. And
How does that meet the Rhodes test, which is that the verdict in the prior action necessarily decided the precise issue he now seeks to preclude?
Well, I think if you look at Ash, I mean, Ash makes it clear that you go back and look at the entire picture. The entire picture, there's no way from, and the standard is rational conclusion. The rational conclusion is that he was decided not to have been, the defendant was decided not to have been the culprit.
Isn't the real distinction that a general verdict is often one thing? Not guilty.
That's correct.
No explanations whatsoever. So then the question is, there's a number of elements to the offense. Do you know which element is missing from a simple general verdict of not guilty? The answer is no, you don't. And I think that's the Rhodes case.
Right.
But the problem is the Ash case talks about looking at all of the other circumstances surrounding it and considering it in its totality. And what we have here is we have a judge that said he's not the shooter and then dismisses a not guilty on the misdemeanor. So that seems to me the difference, isn't it?
It is, John.
I'll send you my bill.
Appreciate it, Judge. Thank you.
2 minutes, 13 seconds.
Sure, I'll have any questions. I'll waive rebuttal.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Call the next